We're doing our class, Judaism from Head to Toe, and we're up to the mouth. And today we're going to start discussing laws of kashrut. And laws of kashrut break up into many, many, many subjects, some of which we will visit in a kitchen, and some of it which we'll cover here. So let's start with basics and work our way up. In this subject, I am very, very lenient because I believe that for chozer b'tshuva and a ger, it's hard enough to keep kosher, and we don't have to work on all the stringencies right away. It's something to work up towards, and that's why maybe if someone's listening to this class, you have to revisit this with your local Orthodox rabbi, because my approach is that as a person builds their understanding and their observance level, then they build up their level of stringency in adhering to the different stringencies of kashrut. So we're going to try to keep things relatively basic. Let's begin. We're only allowed to eat kosher food. That's number one. Okay? I'm serious. Okay? So, we know that kosher can become non-kosher if meat and milk mix, right? But we're going to begin with what is kosher. So, you're walking in Chinatown, and there's a fish store that does not have a hechsher. So, now you want to buy fish there. And you know that fish have to have fins and scales in order to be kosher, right? Now, if they have scales, you know they have fins, right? So some fish, the fins fall off as you pull them out of the water. So you come to the store and you see a fish that has fins and scales, and it's a Chinese store without a hechsher. So what are my issues when it comes to fish? My issues are, do I have fats from non-kosher fish on the kosher fish? Do they use the same knife that is fatty with non-kosher fish on my kosher fish to cut it up? So then maybe I should only have them scale the fish, take off the scales, and not cut it up. Another issue which some places have with fish and some fish have is that there are worms that penetrate the fish. Worms are not kosher most of the time. Which worms are kosher, we'll get to in a second. There are worms that form and they are molecular. And then they form within the flesh of the fish and other things. And then there can be worms that are kosher. Just like worms within a fruit are not always non-kosher. This is Gemara. This is Shulchan Aruch. So not every worm is not kosher. Meaning generally a worm is not kosher. But there can be scenarios that a worm develops in a way that it's kosher. But that's not our discussion today. So when we buy fish, we need to check with the local kashrut authorities. A, can I just have them scale it, which is usually the case? Maybe hack off the tail, hack off, and then maybe the places where they hacked up, I'll have to peel off. And then I clean it, and now I have to make my fish. So in fish, I need fins and scales, and I need to make sure that they didn't use a knife that they're using for other fatty stuff. And I need to make sure it's not a store that sells other non-kosher items. In a minute, we're going to discuss a little bit more on that. And then I have to make sure there are no worms in the fish, that it's a fish that isn't wormy. Some fish, you have to check for worms. So that's when it comes to fish. Now, meat, I can only buy from a store with a hechsher. A hechsher means I have an authorization from someone who I trust that the meat in that store is kosher. So if the butcher is my uncle and I trust him, that's fine. Could be your next door neighbor, shechts his own animals and cuts up the meat. I don't know if it's recommended health-wise, but kashrut-wise, if you trust him that he knows the laws of shechting an animal and what we call in Yiddish, trebering, which means after you you need the animal to be a kosher animal, okay? It's a sheep, it's kosher, fine. And then you need the person who executes the animal to know how to do shechita, and they have to tell you it's a kosher shechita. So that's step two. And then after they did shechita, we need to remove the non-kosher fats from the animal. Not every part of a kosher animal is kosher. And after we remove the non-kosher fats, we need to salt the animal to make sure that there's no more blood that'll come out when we cook it. So I have I have to first make sure it's kosher animal. Then I have to make sure it was slaughtered correctly. Then I have to make sure the non-kosher components were removed. There are non-kosher fats within a kosher animal. And then it needs to be salted properly. So when I come to a store, the reason I need that it should say it's kosher is not only to tell me it's a kosher animal, but also to tell me it was shechted kosher. Not only to tell me it was shechted kosher, but that the piece of meat I'm buying is not one of the fats that's prohibited. Not only to tell me that piece of meat is kosher, but also to tell me it was salted and I can cook it in my pot and I don't have blood in the pot. So now you'll ask me, how come when I buy chicken in the store, there's still blood in that chicken? And the answer is, that's not blood. And you'll say, why is that not blood? And I'll say, because it's not. Blood, by definition, is halachic definition, that which comes out through salting. And that's been washed off. What's left is not blood. Molecularly, maybe that's the same blood. Halachically, it's not. From the halacha's perspective, after you salted the animal or the chicken and you washed off the salt, if you did correctly, whatever remains and comes out is not blood, except for one organ. What organ is that? The liver. The liver, the heart. You have to know how to clean the liver and the heart, how we clean out the liver and the heart. Our liver must be roasted. We wash it, we salt it, and then we roast it. You have to know how to do that. Maybe one day we'll have a class on how to roast livers. When you come to the store and buy a liver, you have to check if it says that the liver was kosher, was roasted, or sometimes they sell here in Israel livers that were not kosher. Now, if we want to make a class trip to go see how you slaughter and salt an animal, let me know. We'll try to make a class trip of it. Maybe, yeah, you guys are interested? Yeah,
can we have a do-it-yourself workshop?
Each sheep costs about 1,500, 1,700 shekel. If you want to fund one, we could do that, yeah. I'm not joking. I'm serious. Guys, Benny put together a list. If we have a group of people that are interested, we'll try to make a class trip to go see a slaughterhouse. Some of you might end up vegetarians. After this, yes. I didn't say it was close. I said we try to arrange it, Bezat Shem. Okay, so we have, meat can only be bought in a kosher place. Sfardim have an added stringency. After we slaughter an animal, so the Talmud tells us there are 18 things that are called trefos, not to be confused with treif meat, non-kosher meat. There are 18 blemishes that an animal can have that makes it a terefa. Now these are tradition. Halacha l'Moshe miSinai. We have tradition from Moshe from Sinai. 18 things that can happen to an animal. One would be if the animal bashed its head into a wall and the membrane on the brain was pierced. So we don't check the animal's membrane on the brain to check if it was pierced. Another one would be in the heart. If there was a needle, he swallowed a needle. He was eating and a thorn went in and he swallowed a needle and it pierced his heart. So there are holes in the heart that would make it a trefa. So there are all kinds of things. If the animal's leg was chopped off above the knee, that makes it a trefa. There are 18 different things, 18 different blemishes that could happen to an animal that would make it a trefa. We don't check for most of them. We assume we have a rove. Our assumption is most animals don't have that problem. You don't have to check for it. But we do check some of them. What do we check? One of those that we check is we blow up the lungs of the animal. What's called in Hebrew the rea, the lungs. We blow up the lungs. And when we blow up the lungs, we're what? You take out the lungs, and then you hold the trachea, and you go... Now, I don't have, at least the last time I tried, I didn't have strong enough lungs to do that. Today they have machines that do it for you. But when I was younger, when I first learned chulin, I went to a slaughterhouse and they let me try. And I couldn't, for the life of me, I couldn't blow up its lungs. You need it? You needed good lungs, I'm saying. I can do it. I was a vegetarian before that for many years. We'll see. Let's see. If you put together the 1,500 shekels, and maybe they'll let us do that. So coming back to the rea. So when we check the lungs, we're checking to see that there weren't wounds in the lung, punctures in the lung, that indicate that the lung was a trefa, that this animal had a wound that made it a trefa. Now, an animal that has a trefa is not kosher. You can't eat it. Even though it's a kosher animal and it had kosher shechita, you're not allowed to eat it. You got to sell it to a non-Jew. meaning the kosher animal. After you shechted it, if you discover it was a treifa, that's not kosher. So, what? Yeah, you could sell it. But you can't eat it. A Jew can't eat it. So, we're looking for what's called a sircha. When the animal has a puncture in its lungs, so it develops this glue, like a little lobe, like the lobe of the ear that sticks onto it. That's called a sircha. Now, there are different types of gooky stuff that stick to it. And that's what we talk about when we say Sfardim have to eat meat that's glat. That means chalak in Hebrew. That means that when they checked the lungs, it was smooth. There wasn't even something that was close to a puncture. Ashkenazim say there are different types of gooky stuff, which we say that's okay. Sfardim say it has to be completely clean. So today it's easy. Almost all the meat that has a good hechsher is glat, because we manufacture so much meat, there's such a market that the meat factories have two floors. And anything that isn't glat, they just pass on to the next floor. So it's much easier to get meat that's glat today. Once upon a time it was very expensive and no one ate it other than Sfardim. Ashkenazim did not eat glat. It was like a rarity to find an Ashkenazi that ate glat. They couldn't. They would slaughter one animal for the whole town a week, if they were lucky. And then that animal was usually not glat. It was rare that they had glat meat. Ashkenazim did not eat glat. But today we're all machmir and it's wonderful. It's easy. I'm saying it's easy. It's not expensive. It's easy. Coming back to, so meat, we have to buy with a hechsher. There's no way around that. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. It has to have a kosher symbol. It has to have an orthodox kosher symbol that you can trust. And there's no room for leniency in that. Nothing. Nothing. There's no games in that. You're in the store and you see a beef jerky and it has no hechsher, it's not kosher, you can't eat it. If we spoke about fish, but when it comes to poultry or meat, that's every Jew has to eat something that is an orthodox hechsher. And the same is true for chicken. Meat and chicken are the same, meaning it has to have an orthodox hechsher, otherwise there's no way you can eat it. So that's what we can discuss about meat and chicken. Now, let's go over to milk products. And before we do that, I guess we're going to pause here. Tomorrow we'll talk about milk products and fruit and vegetables, and then we'll start talking about the chicken, the kitchen, and how to manage salt shakers. Do you need a fleishig mechik salt shaker? Why do you need a power of knife? Etc. We will discuss that Bezrat Shem either tomorrow or Thursday. We'll work our way forward. Milk products, Chalav Yisrael, that whole story, Bezrat Shem tomorrow. Okay.